Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What is up, Cougs fans? Connor and Dylan back with another live edition of the Couch GM and CougFan.com live weekly show. Make sure to check out CougFan.com for all things Cougar Athletics. They have the most up-to-date, most in-depth news talking all things Cougar Athletics. We got a great show today. We have quite the update regarding media rights, potential universities coming into the Pac-12 here in the near future that we're going to get into. San Diego State University AD leaked some info that, you know, was meant to be kept a little closer to the chest, but we're going to get into that. We're also going to get into some basketball talk. We've got a couple interviews that we'll play clips from, including basketball with Ethan Price. And then we got football later on with David Kuku. We'll get into baseball, some football talk, some combine talk, and much more. So Dylan, let's start off with the media rights talk that was coming out this week. First off, a big shout out to the Puck Show for having Canzano on and helping share a ton of insight. If you haven't watched it yet, go check out the Puck Show. Go check out that episode with Canzano talking about media rights, again, the leaks, all of the information. So to start off, there's something called a grant of rights. Canzano pulled a public record report and was able to find certain information that was going on behind the scenes. Essentially, with the new Pac-12 rights, OSU and WSU have the right to be the final say on anything. Even if there is a unanimous vote across the board with all of the other universities involved, OSU and WSU have to vote yes for something to pass. And essentially, I mean, that's obviously huge, but it's because OSU and WSU, they took the risk of trying to stay in the conference and to rebuild. They took on that lawsuit and won it. And then also this allows it so that, you know, it basically gives them the 5 years of control to where those universities can't gang up and try to knock out OSU and WSU for whatever reason, or to overrule or take it however they want to. Dylan, what are your initial thoughts on some of this information that's come out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, essentially gives Washington State and Oregon State, these two schools that have felt marginalized, with the Pac-10 leaving and the traitorous 10, and gives them basically the final nod to go, hey, maybe if they're not feeling too inclined about traveling out to schools like Memphis, Tulane, this and that, we might see if that's truly how WSU feels. So, you know, it just goes back to, you know, WSU and Oregon State not letting this Mountain West 5 and Gonzaga kind of run away with the conference that they say. You know, so as they should, you know, it kind of dignifies what WSU and Oregon State did and the fight and plight that they had, over the past couple of years in terms of reshaping this conference going forward.
And yeah, as Canzano stated, this is essentially for the entire 5-year contract. So that's the length of time after which there would be a new contract written in place. And so basically they have overruling rights to decide on who they go with for a media deal, who they want to bring in for the expansion, Pac-12 Enterprises, the brand, what is done exactly with all of that. And then on top of that, some other information is that the Pac-12 moving forward is going to have performance-based payouts on for the universities. So teams that make the playoffs or various tournaments are going to keep 50% of the revenue, and then the Pac-12 will split the other 50%. He mentioned that the SEC doesn't currently do a rev share like that. Can you walk through kind of what is common practice in NCAA and then how this is different?
Yeah, I mean, the SEC and the Big Ten, they obviously get the most money out of media dollars. So the way they have it set up, you know, Oregon, they make the playoff this year. Well, Rutgers is getting a cut of that. Northwestern's getting a cut of that. Purdue's getting a cut of that. Ohio State, you know, winning their rounds. I think, didn't Ohio State have to play a first-round game? So I think they played four total games. And, gosh, I mean, that's a good amount of money that they're, you know, having to put back to the Big Ten Conference. I know the ACC has somewhat adopted something similar to what the Pac-12's aiming to do. And this incentivizes the schools like Boise State and Gonzaga to come in. Well, hey, you know what? We weren't getting these deals in the West Coast Conference or the Mountain West Conference. And you just saw, you know, Gonzaga's made the Sweet 16, I think, eight straight seasons. And when you're looking at NCAA tournament units that are $2 million a piece, you get $2 million for making the tournament and then $2 million for each win. I mean, gosh, if Gonzaga is just going off of their, you know, their recency and their history of making a Sweet 16, well, that's $6 million, three that they keep and three that goes to the Pac-12 that they'll share evenly amongst those teams that, you know, didn't make the tournament. So it incentivizes a school like Gonzaga to branch out finally. You know, we heard some Big East rumors with them, some Big 12 rumors with them. The Mountain West Conference tried to add them years ago. And, you know, they've kind of been firmly planted in the West Coast Conference. And I think a lot of these incentive-based, you know, hey, eat what you kill is what Canzano said on Puck. And, you know, Connor, you and I know that all too well with full commission jobs. So I think that's big time, right?
Incentive is key. And so that's big time. And so as a part of the Canzano and also just some of the news that was leaked, the San Diego State University athletic director got on the hot mic at, you know, one of the rallies for some donors. And he said he gave away some insider info. So we're going to go ahead and play that clip right here.
To end of next month, we will have the MOU done for our television deal. So we will know what our TV deal is going to be, who our partners are going to be. I will say this, they're entities that you're familiar with, that you would recognize. We're going to get great exposure. And the really good thing is we're going to get more exposure. It's not just going to be football and men's basketball, but it's going to be all of our sports are going to have the opportunity for this increased exposure. It's going to be increased revenue, which is a big thing for us. So that's really the next big piece. Once we know that, then we can go recruit that eighth football playing member. We need one more football playing member that has all of its sports to meet FBS rules or NCAA FBS rules. And then after that, we'll figure out if we're adding one, two, or three more schools and whether they're coming in all of their sports, they might be coming in some of their sports.
And some key takeaways from what he said there is that they're going to be finding their media deal and it might be currently in place. They're just negotiating, signing the final paperwork, after which they're going to be looking to go out and recruit those additional universities. And he mentioned that it's not just going to be for football and basketball. It's going to be for a wider array of sports throughout the universities. There's going to be more exposure, increased revenue. He mentioned that it could be a familiar partner. I'm curious what exactly that means. Does that mean maybe someone like Apple, or if some of the games are going to be hosted on ESPN? I don't know exactly what that looks like. After that, they're going to find the eighth school for football and then maybe one to three more. So what are your initial takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, when you take a look at, hey, they're entities that you're familiar with, that you recognize, we're going to get great exposure. It sounds like it could be CBS Sports, you know, Fox maybe taking, you know, one game a week. You know, obviously, you know, one thing too with the CW, we didn't really have a lot of Pac-12 after dark games. And like, granted, if you're not going to the game, you kind of like the 7 o'clock start if you're not having to travel or actually be in the stadium live. It's tough, you know, when you got to maybe travel back to Spokane or the Tri-Cities after a 7 o'clock game. But those windows are so important, especially those late windows on TV. So I'd like to see the Pac-12 go after, you know, the Pac-12 after dark slogan and continue that. So, you know, it could be something similar with what we've seen with like what the Mountain West Conference had in terms of the CBS Sports Network, maybe a few games on Fox. I'm pretty good off of ESPN Plus after watching, you know, quite a few games basketball wise this year. It's not a great broadcast. It's not a great production. But the other thing is, you know, obviously the Pac-12 has their own way of producing games. And in those quotes, you kind of read in between the tea leaves where, you know, Canzano came out and said, it's not just, you know, basketball and football. It's going to be women's basketball and volleyball. So obviously they're aiming some way to produce, you know, volleyball and women's basketball. So, you know, there's going to, and I believe they're all going to split that revenue on what are, whatever they produce. I know they're producing some Warriors games right now, a few MLS games. So that's just something that you're hoping is going to be able to take off as well. But, you know, the one thing that I thought Wicker, you know, kind of said that you can read in between the tea leaves as well is they, after that, we'll figure out if we're adding one, two or three more schools. But here's this kicker and kind of brings up like the St. Mary's aspect in basketball, and whether they're coming in all of their sports, they might be coming in some of their sports. So, you know, you're looking at a school like St. Mary's. Does Creighton get a play, you know, in terms of what they're making with the Big East and bringing them into the basketball side of things? I think that would be a fantastic addition, but I just don't know how, you know, if they're able to pry Creighton out of a Big East deal that was just set last year. So that conference is making pretty good media dollars for it being basketball only for the most part.
And to reply to this comment from Mark Pena, and if you have any questions or opinions, feel free to drop it in the comments. We'll try to get to it. He stated, we would have rather heard this news from Teresa Gould, the Pac-12 commissioner, rather than the SDSU AD. PAC has to get their message in order from the top down. And I'm sure she would have liked to have heard, to had the, had this news come out from her as well. But again, it was leaked from SDSU. He got on the hot mic and that's just kind of what happened. And as Canzano also described, I guess they have bi-weekly meetings, or sorry, two meetings a week with all of the PAC 12 ADs talking about how this is going to take place going forward. And he wasn't directly called out, but they were like, hey, we need to not say X, Y, and Z. We need to not, you know, do all this and put some posturing. And so that's just kind of what happens. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, he's basically saying a lot that's been reported already by Canzano. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to kind of keep that tight to the vest. And, you know, Canzano said, you know, the Pac-12 offices had a bit of a groan there because they didn't give Wicker the green light to go out and speak about these things. But, you know, when he mentions like, hey, we're going to see increased revenue, WSU and Oregon State aren't seeing increased revenue. You got to remember that. But every other school that's coming into this new conference, you know, they had a Mountain West media deal that was $3.5-4 million. And, you know, expectations of $10-12 million. The hope is with this new media rights deal, obviously San Diego State's, the Utah State's, the Boise State's of the world are tripling, doubling their media revenue. So it's good news for them. You know, you get out in front of some boosters, some fans, you don't realize you have a, you know, maybe somebody's recording this and all of a sudden it's put on social media. I mean, it's that fast nowadays.
Those boosters have a couple of drinks. They have their checkbooks out. You got to say something to get them to write a bigger number, sign off right away. To add some context, so Canzano actually speculated on what universities might be coming in to the Pac-12. He stated Memphis, Tulane, South Florida, University of Texas, San Antonio, Texas State, Rice, UNLV, Nevada. 1 to 3 of these schools in that pool likely are going to be joining the Pac-12. And he did note that Texas State is more of a fallback. So we'll see if they, you know, Memphis, Tulane probably are the 1A and B. It sounds like they've already made an offer to Memphis, which we covered in the past. You know, they just haven't heard back with another offer. So we'll see if something comes from that. And then, so WSU AD Ann McCoy was also quoted saying that it's going to be Pac-12 forever, no matter how many schools come in. So I had seen that they submitted trademark requests for like Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-14, something like that. But it sounds like they're doubling down and that they're going to stay the Pac-12 forever. Like the Big Ten is still the Big Ten, no matter how many schools are in there, the Big 12, all these conferences. So
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
They're doubling down on the Pac-12 brand and looking to expand that way. She also noted that they went from hoping to survive to now thriving. And, you know, the definition of thriving in this case is a bit different than it was in the past, but
yeah. Thriving would be getting $30 million from the Pac-12 still yearly.
One other big takeaway from all of this was that Fresno State was mentioned, and it dates back to a 1997 FBI investigation in which Fresno State was investigated for point shaving, meaning that certain guys were missing airballing free throws late in games to try to beat point spreads, where it was just completely questionable. And we're right back at it. Fresno State this year, they're 5-23, 1-16 in the Mountain West. They've lost 10 straight, and actually their guard, Zaion Collins, is being investigated for betting on pro sports. And he was actually sentenced
one of their best players too.
He was sentenced to 90 days in jail, released after 56 days. They've already removed one player. I believe that was the player that was removed. They've suspended two others. So, you know, the reason why Fresno State wasn't initially involved or included in the Mountain West Conference is because of that point shaving scandal. So, we'll see what comes of this, but let's just think that Dylan is not playing basketball at WSU. Otherwise, they might be in the news for another reason.
Yeah, you know, and also it's Vance Wahlberg, their head coach there. I mean, this guy was coaching high school basketball last year. If we're looking from an aspect too of like going back to the media rights, you know, where hey, you eat what you kill, where you're keeping 50% of your playoff revenue. Well, it's also going to force schools to invest into their programs, because if you're not investing, you're probably not making the NCAA tournament. You're probably not sniffing the college football playoff. The whole idea, you know, the Pac-12 is trying to jump the line here in terms of that group of five, where it's like, hey, our league winner in football should, you know, take that cake each year in terms of getting that automatic bid. And obviously we've seen some reports of the college football playoff being maybe extended to 14 or 16 teams. So there's still a lot to kind of go through there over this off season. You know, obviously the powers that be, the SEC and the Big Ten, they're going to be the puppet masters in terms of college football and deciding, you know, what next steps are for the college football playoff, how many teams are in it, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, stay tuned. We'll update you as we hear more on the media rights. Sounds like towards the end of March and around March Madness might be around when the media rights deal will be announced for the Pac-12. But now moving into basketball talk, Dylan had a great interview with Ethan Price, which is going to go live after this live stream here. He's a senior out of Great Britain. He actually grew up playing soccer or football, as they would call it, from their homeland. And one of the leagues or the teams that he follows over there was actually promoted to the Premier League. As we know in soccer, they have relegation, and you can get promoted from a smaller league into the Premier League or a big league like that. So that's really cool to see. I'm going to go ahead and play a clip of Ethan talking about what it means to be a basketball player coming from the UK.
Yeah, I think it's been amazing, actually, just to be able to see the amount of people that play basketball in England. I think, if I'm not wrong, I think basketball is the second or third most played sport in England behind football. The funding isn't quite the same compared to some other sports, which I think is which is probably the problem right now, especially for British basketball. When they, I think when they get that step right, we'll see a big jump. But I just think being able to even look over the whole of Division One over here, I mean, I feel like this year I've played against an English person, you know, one in every three or four games, and they're playing at a high level. You know, you've got Great Osborne at UW, you've got Amari Williams at Kentucky, Cam Hildreth at Wake Forest, like, you know, great players that have come out of England, and we've all proven that we can play at the highest level of Division One, which I think is really, really promising. And then you've also got, you know, the Great Britain national team qualifying for Eurobasket this year, which I think is a huge step just to kind of put Great Britain on the map. And yeah, I feel like the talent has always been there. It's just the ability to be able to expose it and put ourselves on a platform to be able to, you know, show that we British basketball players can play at the highest level.
So from that, you know, he mentioned that that adds like another dimension with the exposure that players are now able to get. I imagine that's from social media. What are your takeaways? Yeah,
obviously. In terms of, too, what we're seeing in the NBA, you know, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who's probably going to win the MVP this year from Canada. I mean, you're just seeing a much bigger presence around the world. And basketball really has turned into the number two sport globally. You know, probably inked itself ahead of tennis, golf. You got a lot of big-time players. Excuse me. Coming from overseas, I mean, we have a couple others on our team. The redshirt center, name is forsaken me. Obviously, we have our true freshman, Thomas Thrasterson, from Iceland, coming over here. He's turned into a big-time rotational player. You've seen a player like Thomas's stature where he wasn't expected to really have minutes this season. And then Cedric Coward goes down, Marcus Wilson goes down, Rehard Wavers goes down, Isaiah Watts goes down. I mean, the list was continuous this year with the basketball team. And, you know, we got to come out and say it. Like, the month of February, it was tough to watch. I'm sure a lot of Cougs have probably stopped watching the basketball team. I know a few that have. And to be honest, it's looked like they've quit at some points in the month of February. I mean, you come out and get blasted at home and give up 109 points to Santa Clara last time out. You got something to prove this week. Last home game tonight against USD, 6:30 p.m. USD comes in at 4-25. This is a team that they barely squeaked by at San Diego. And shortly after, you kind of started to see this team kind of go a bit downhill. Now, the one aspect, too, is we've seen this team get hot with the nucleus that they have. The question is have they quit on themselves and the team? So I don't think so. I think this week is going to be a big opportunity for them to come back and show alums and fans, hey, let's rattle off two wins against two of the teams in the bottom of the conference. If they can get St. Mary's to beat Loyola Marymount this week and they win their final two games, they will be able to jump LMU into that sixth spot in the tourney. There's still some shaking to do 3 through 5, but this is a team that, you know, could win 2-3 games in the West Coast Conference if they get hot, especially with the three-point shooting. But it comes down offensively. There's been a lot of hero ball, and there's been a lot of selfish basketball lately. It's not the brand of basketball that we're accustomed to seeing offensively from David Riley. Now, the turnovers in the defense, that's got to be adjusted too. I mean, they got to be sitting around 10 to 12 turnovers a game, but unfortunately, they're leading the West Coast Conference in turnovers per game. So this is going to be an interesting one tonight. The line is WSU 13.5 point favorites. The over-under is 158.5 for our betting folks out there. So, you know, it's tough to take WSU with 13.5 points currently. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I also did ask Ethan about, hey, over this last month, obviously, they've lost 8 of 9 games. What have you guys been trying to do, and do they have something to prove?
Yeah, for sure. I think we have something to prove every game we step out, and I feel like the team as a whole has definitely felt that disappointment over this past few weeks, because we definitely know we can play better, we can win these games. But kind of like I was saying, it's an everyday process. I think we've had a good mindset of not looking too far ahead, and also not looking, you know, back in the past, because you can't go back in time and change those games. I think our details and what we're doing every day leading up to these next few games is you know, going to determine how we finish the season. And yeah, we definitely have a point to prove.
And that's what you're going to get from one of your team leaders. Obviously, Ethan Price been with David Riley now for four seasons. Had options this past summer to go play basketball, maybe at a higher level in terms of conference stability. Basically, they've got to win these two games. You finish 18-13 in the regular season, but I don't think many people expected WSU at best to finish 8-10 in conference. Their preseason fifth place from the media before the season started.
And they started 13-3. They are 3-9 since. They're 16-12, 6-10 in the WCC overall. Like you mentioned, they have one more game versus San Diego, and then they have at Pepperdine to end it. And then I saw a quote on CougFan.com from one of the articles that Coach Riley Saturday, after losing to St. Mary's, stated that they probably skipped some steps foundation-wise. Can you kind of dig into that, what he might mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, essentially in that article, you know, they're trying to find answers themselves with the coaching staff. And, you know, he kind of tapped it back to, we lost some fire, we lost some grit in the way that we practice. So depending if you buy that or not, I mean, it all starts in practice with any sport. You're going to, you know, a tale is as old as time. You practice how you play. But, you know, guys like Nate Calmese, he's got to step up. I mean, he's been on a milk carton at some points in February where it's like, okay, where is this guy that's been able to get into the paint at ease, set his teammates up for open shots. So, you know, the other aspect too is like, do you sit Isaiah Watts for Thomas Thrasterson? In my opinion, I think that might be something that David Riley has to mull, but he came out and said that he's going to kind of stick with his guys. So we'll see how they look tonight. But I think, you know, a guy like Thrasterson, that you know what you're going to get defensively with him, as well as rebounding the basketball. He's a player that I think has really taken some steps forward this season. And I think he's going to be one of the main guys that you're going to have to keep going into next year. You're not going to be able to keep all of these players. You're not going to be able to keep Nate Calmese, Isaiah Watts, if Cedric Coward decides to return or go to the draft, LaJuan Watts. You know, in my opinion, in terms of where we're at with our NIL and our match campaign, you're probably looking at trying to get one of those four guys back, realistically speaking.
Go for it.
Sorry, folks. We're still working out the kinks in between Connor and I. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and then you had a few clips of Jalen Wells, who is a standout at WSU now, a standout with the Grizzlies. What are these clips that we're going to go into here?
Yeah, so this first clip is their overtime game against Phoenix, where Jalen, I had 19 points. I think he was plus 6 in his plus or minus. And really, the league is taking notice. You know, Ja Morant here is going to drive and kick out to Jalen. And we've seen this with Jalen in the past games against Arizona. He is not afraid to take a big time shot. I mean, the guy is so reserved. He plays like a fifth year veteran in the NBA. He's a 39th overall pick in the second round. I mean, this is a legit player. After this clip, we'll dive into Donovan Mitchell post game talking about Jalen Wells. But I mean, take a look at this shot.
Wells for three. Bingo! I've
seen a lot of people guard you since you've been in the league. Jalen Wells is a second round rookie who's got 50 plus starts. That doesn't usually happen in this league.
That kid is good.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what was your impressions of him? He was picking you up full that whole first half, and he looked like he was really feeling comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched him a bunch this season, so kind of having to prep and understand, you know, and for a second-round rookie for guys like myself, Dame, Book, Ant, Steph, for us to really, he's like on the report, you know what I mean? That's a lot of respect to him. And then on the offensive end, I didn't know he shot it as well as he did, like with confidence, you know, so a lot of credit to him. And
listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
He kind of made himself a staple over there. I mean, I think that's something that they really rely on him to kind of disrupt a lot of different things. But he's definitely really talented. He's only going to get better, you know what I mean? And I give him a lot of credit for continuing to be that player and not really tripping on if I score, if he gets scored on, if he makes shots, doesn't make shots. He's been that way. I've been watching it all year, first time in person. So a lot of respect to him for sure.
That's big time praise. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is one of the best players in the NBA. And, you know, here's a quick stat from Stat Defender on X. And basically says Jalen Wells' career defensive field goal percentage versus all-stars, all-star caliber players. I don't know why Jordan Poole's on this list, but 10% shooting. Devin Booker, 12.5% shooting from the field. Damian Lillard, 16.7% shooting. Tyrese Halliburton, 25%. Anthony Edwards, 33%. Kevin Durant, 33%. LaMelo Ball, 36.4%. James Harden, 43%. I mean, this is big-time stuff. I mean, he is matching up against the best player defensively on the opposing team, 2 through 5. As long as it's not a center, he can guard your power forward, your stretch three, your shooting guard, your point guard. He's very great at switching defensively. I mean, this is going to be fun to watch. I think the sky is the limit for Jalen. I think this is a guy that can make 2 or 3 all-star teams if he continues on this path. You know, and like we've seen with Memphis, they've already traded away Jake LaRavia. They've already traded away Marcus Smart. They're all in on Jalen Wells. And it also helps when he's on a rookie contract as well.
Absolutely. And then there's one more clip from Clay. Did we want to play that one?
Yeah. And just to kind of explain this clip with Clay Thompson post game, he had his doctor who performed the Achilles operation on him in 2020 or 2019. And the doctor's name is Dr. Richard Ferkel. And he presented him with a championship ring from his last championship with the Golden State Warriors. And you might have to turn this up. Apologize for the audio level here.
I don't take for granted just even playing as many games I've played in this year, being in the lineup consistently. It was really cool seeing Dr. Ferkel tonight. That man reattached my Achilles, so to see him and see how far I've come from operating table to being out there on a nightly basis, it's a huge accomplishment for myself, and I don't take every night on in the NBA jersey to me is just an honor, and I've enjoyed every second of being a Dallas Maverick, and I know there's so much greatness ahead for us. We just got to stay the course.
I just got a comment real quick. You know, how long would it take to get back from an Achilles to full health? Like when I do these interviews with players that have gone through surgery with baseball, with whether it was a shoulder surgery, Tommy John surgery, takes close to a year. But to have the mental barrier to fire a fastball as hard as you can, like how long does it take to get past that barrier with basketball and Achilles and any sport in Achilles? You know, what did
you have to do? You look at a guy like Mike Soroka, you know, former Brave, he ruptured his Achilles 2 times. I mean, it was out of baseball for 3.5-4 years. And then is finally kind of getting back into the swing of things. Had a pretty good season relieving with the White Sox last year. And my Washington Nationals signed him to be a starter this year. But that's enough baseball from the Nationals standpoint. It's insane. And we saw, you know, Clay in that first year kind of, you know, you're rusty. I mean, and especially to have that happen, you know, at age 30, 29 years old, obviously the recovery time's not as quick as, you know, when Clay was, you know, 22, 23 years old. Yeah, I mean, what he's been able to do, and now he's part of this Mavericks circus this year with the whole Luka Doncic trade for Anthony Davis. And, you know, it was interesting hearing him at that end of the clip saying, hey, we're close. That's just an interesting aspect to be a part of, because I'm sure when Klay Thompson signed his contract there this offseason, he was expecting to play with Luka Doncic for 3 or 4 years, but you know what? Hey, they made a deal, and they made a big time blockbuster. And you know, obviously Anthony Davis only played that one game so far. So it's going to be really interesting to watch Clay this year and this Mavericks team to see how good they can be. Because at the end of the day, when they're fully healthy, you've got Clay Thompson, you've got Kyrie Irving, you've got Anthony Davis, and you've got a pretty good nucleus of rotational players playing around him in a PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Max Christie, who also came along in that deal with the Lakers. So it's going to be interesting to watch Clay as well as Jaylen, because both of these teams are playoff caliber teams. You've got Memphis hanging around the 2 or 3 seed right now in the Western Conference. So now how cool would it be to have Lakers Mavericks in round one or round two, and you've got Clay Thompson kind of in the heart of, you know, one of the biggest stories in NBA basketball this season.
Yes. Some fun Cougs to watch in the NBA. And then pivoting to some women's basketball, there's a really heartwarming story coming out of Washington State. The lone senior for the women's basketball team for Washington State, Tara Wallach, received 150 to 200 letters from grateful WSU fans talking about her loyalty and just saying thank you. She has 129 career games. 100 in a row is her current streak. And her next block shot is number 159, which is second in program history. Again, she's the lone senior. So fans and teammates, they did a few different celebrations for her final game at Beasley. But, you know, a heartwarming story. And it just goes to show that loyalty does matter to people. If you stay and you give your heart for 4 years, you know, they're going to appreciate that instead of, you know, just taking whatever opportunity comes and leaving to the next.
Yeah, she's having a fantastic year, averaging over 13 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, a couple dimes. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they're going to be able to match up in the West Coast Conference tournament. And it's going to be 3 games as opposed to 2, not getting that 1 or 2 seed. So they're going to have to win 3 in order to get that automatic bid. And the way it's shaken out in the WSCC this year with the women's side of things is that automatic bid is going to be the only bid that this conference gets in the NCAA tournament. And you know, you're going to have to go through a school like Gonzaga, a school like Oregon State. Portland's been pretty good this year. So, you know, there is a higher probability of a NCAA bid going to the women's program this season. So Cougs, make sure you're following along. They do finish up their year with Pepperdine today at 1 o'clock on ESPN+.
Now pivoting to baseball, not the best start for baseball at Washington State. They have started 0-8 on the year. They have another series coming up. This next series against Iowa, which starts today, goes through Sunday, is going to be in Texas. As we know, the weather in Pullman isn't quite ideal for baseball season right now. But as I mentioned, 0-8 start to the year. They had an opportunity in that first game of the season against Arkansas, who's rated number 4. They had some opportunities this last weekend, you know, in the league, late innings as a team.
6-1 lead over UCLA. I mean, my goodness, like it's tough to watch.
So as a team, Washington State baseball, they have a .234 team batting average. They have struck out 65 times. They have walked just 28 times. They are averaging 3 runs per game. And 3 runs per game doesn't really get the job done when you're averaging as a pitching staff an 8.47 earned run average over a game. They have a 2.01 whip, 51 strikeouts as a pitching staff compared to 42 walks. You got to dominate the zone. They have an opponent batting average against of .325, and they've committed 12 errors so far over this short season over 8 games. So some stuff to iron out. The standouts, however, are Max Hartman, who's an outfielder, 321 average, 763 OPS. He's a name that we highlighted preseason as one to be on the lookout for. And then for the pitching staff, Griffin Smith, he is a starter. He has two starts, 10 innings pitched, a 2.7 ERA to the start.
Yeah, one other guy I want to shout out to on the pitching side of things is Rylan Hader, who has turned into Nathan Choate's first guy out of the pen. He's been fantastic this season, 1.80 ERA, one whip. You know, has a bit of a funky delivery, a sidearm delivery where he's getting rise on his fastball. So he's really kind of living like a Sean Doolittle type in terms of, hey, he's not going to really blow it by you with the fastball, but he's going to change your eye level. So, you know, Nick Lewis had one pretty good start this year and he's been, you know, not so hot outside of it. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is a team where I've had, a baseball coach tell me, hey, look, you know, the strike zone is similar to the line of scrimmage in football where, hey, if you can dominate the strike zone, from a pitching standpoint and from a hitting standpoint in terms of hitting the correct pitches, swinging at the correct pitches, not chasing. So they've got to get better on both sides of the baseball in terms of the strike zone.
Now, there are some WSU alum that are definitely guys that are standouts in the MLB that you got to check out. Number one, we have a clip here from Kyle Manzardo this spring. He's going to be a first base DH for the Cleveland Guardians. He's actually a former Portland Pickle as well. Here's a clip from spring training. If you're going to be down in spring.
I got to get in the gym, man. I need some tree trunks like that in the lower half. My goodness, Kyle. I mean, I wonder how much he once when we eventually get him on, we got to go into his training regimen. You know, how much he's deadlifting the whole nine yards, because that is a big boy.
Let me get his official height, weight. He's it has him listed at 5'11", 205. But clearly it's the right weight that he has on, because he's able to pack a punch. Be on the lookout for him. He was in the playoffs this last year with the Guardians. He's going to be a standout guy. Next clip.
Yeah. And the biggest thing with Manzardo too is like the Guardians, they also signed, you know, former Mariner. A lot of people recognize the name Carlos Santana. They paid him $12 million this offseason. So it's like, it's not like this guy's not coming in to not play a decent amount of time at first base with that contract value. But, you know, hey, everything can change in spring training. In terms of how players look. Also, Santana's 38 years old. He's a bit older. So, you worry about maybe a couple stays on the 10-day or the, 15-day IL. But, the hope is, you're taking a look at some of the Guardians writers, some of their perspective, personalities. A lot of folks are extremely high on Manzardo this season. And the hope is, hey, if he's not at first base, he's DHing and he's in the lineup. And it's gonna really be a tell is how he can hit left-handed pitching and try and steer clear from being a platoon player with the Guardians.
Next clip is Ian Hamilton. He actually played high school baseball with him. He went to Washington State. He ended up setting the saves record at Washington State before getting drafted. He bounced around to different teams. He is now a New York Yankee. He played in the playoffs, and here's a clip of him at spring training. So to add some context to that, when you're doing that with your glove, that's a changeup. But the crazy thing about his changeup is that it's completely different from what else is being thrown in the league. A changeup typically breaks down an arm side. However, his is called the Slombio. And Aaron Boone, the New York Yankees manager last year, went in depth on how this gets batters out. And essentially, different is good because hitters are not expecting to see what happens. It looks like it's a changeup spin, but then it breaks the opposite direction of what it's supposed to break. So Ian Hamilton, he's got a 98 mile an hour sinker. Pair that with the Slombio. He's had some great success so far in his time.
Yeah, and when you take a look at it too, it looks like he's throwing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
A circle change as well in terms of the grip. It doesn't look like your slurve or your slider or a curveball. So like you said, hey, these, and it's similar to Ryan Walker. I mean, with his crossfire delivery, a lot of pitchers, you know, a lot of teams these days are looking for people that are going to make batters and hitters uncomfortable in the box. So it's good to see that Ian's healthy. And taking a look at that first off speed pitch, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much basketball, football, tennis, golf you watch. That is the hardest thing to do in professional sports, is to hit a baseball. And what these guys do, you know, you got a guy like Ben Joyce on the Angels who's trying to get up to 107 miles per hour with his fastball, threw 105 and a half last year. I mean, the state of this game, it's just in great hands. I loved what Manfred has done in terms of what the pitch clock, speeding up the game. Now we have games, you know, ending two and a half hours, on par with what, you know, a basketball, program is typically when you watch a, you know, an NBA basketball game or a college game. But, you know, the biggest thing for Ian is going to be health going forward. You know, he's been a bit injury prone during his career. So he's a guy that Aaron Boone has entrusted in getting late inning outs in the seventh inning, the eighth inning, had a few saves as well last year. So we're wishing Ian, good health this season. I wish he was on a different team, but that's neither here nor there.
So what's funny is that he actually grew up a Red Sox fan. So imagine him and his family, you know, they grow up Red Sox fans. He has the opportunity with the Yankees. I mean, you'll take it. And one other big note is that Clay Holmes, you know, one of the relief guys for the Yankees this last year, he signed with the New York Mets as a starter. So that opens up another opportunity for Ian to potentially step into some of those higher leverage situations. And then let's see here. Yeah. So Ian Hamilton, standout guy, make sure to be on the lookout for him. And then also,
we still haven't seen any new video on Ryan Walker in terms of spring training. So Connor pulled up just a crazy, crazy clip from last season.
So I don't actually have that clip. However, check out Ryan Walker, because when you look at, if you're into baseball, if you're not into baseball, I highly encourage you to start watching baseball. Look at the details. Like we've said, the talent in the league right now is like nothing we've seen before. It's incredibly fun to watch. They added the ABS system this spring training, automatic balls and strikes. They can tap on the top of their helmet to challenge a pitch, the pitcher, the hitter, or the catcher. And that's been a lot of fun to throw it up on the scoreboard, you know, show umps that, hey, yeah, you actually do suck, or hey, nice job on calling the correct pitch. But I lost my train of thought there. Where was I going?
ABS.
It's a super fun time to watch. And as I was saying, Ryan Walker, so when you look at the mound, typically the pitcher is moving right down the hill, and you'll see the footprint to where the pitcher is landing with their stride leg. However, with Ryan Walker, he has a crossbody fire. So it's like, instead of going straight down the hill, his landing foot or his plant foot is completely off to the side. And then he comes across his body, fires across. He has a sinker at 98. As well as like a devastating sweeper. It's absolutely devastating. So Ryan Walker, make sure to check him out as well. Then now transitioning into football, our final segment, spring ball starts this Saturday for the Cougs. So make sure again to check out CougFan.com. They have a full position by position preview of who to be on the lookout for throughout the spring. Again, that will end in, late March, early April with the spring game in Pullman. And we'll hopefully be having Jimmy Rogers on the podcast at some point following spring ball. So is there anything in specific that you're looking for during the spring?
Yeah, no, we've heard some reports that Angel Johnson, might be dealing with a lower ankle leg injury that might keep him from starting spring ball on time. We don't really have too much information outside of that. Don't know what the timeline might be for him, but the hope is that he can get some time out there on the field. And, you know, the biggest difference this year that we're now seeing with spring ball, and this is across nationally speaking, is, you know what, they're not opening this up, because videos get out of some player making a big time play. Maybe you have an offensive lineman that's just pancaking dudes for the entirety of the spring ball game. Video gets out and all of a sudden somebody's NIL, somebody's used car salesman's on the phone with a player, a kid, hey, how about we give you 120K and you dip out of there and come this way. So, you've seen Matt Rhule at Nebraska. That is a big time moneymaker and a big time thing for Nebraska football. I mean, they pack in 90,000 people for a spring football game. And he said, see ya, I'm not dealing with this. So, with that. So, how much information, Jamie and some of the other scribes are able to get out of Jimmy Rogers and, this upcoming spring portion, they haven't dealt with Jimmy yet, the media side of things is also, seeing the difference between what Coach Rogers and Coach Dickert, do. So, yeah, just looking for guys to gain familiarity. Obviously, new playbooks on both sides of the football, new schemes on both sides of the football. So, it's really just getting these guys out and practicing with each other for the first opportunity in 2025. So really looking forward to seeing how much information comes out during the spring ball portion.
And one thing that is different from the Dickert era to the Jimmy Rogers era is that the media is locked out of weekday practices. So the spring ball practice schedule is Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, starting this Saturday. And so media is only allowed on those Saturday practices. So spring game is going to be April 12th. And actually there's going to be the quarterback classic golf scramble, which will be the 10th and the 11th of April. Of April. That Sunday is going to be the actual spring game in Pullman. So that'll be fun to watch as well. And practices.
So throughout the spring game is after the football.
Correct.
The Palouse.
It's going to be that Saturday, actually. Yeah. So it's that dinner. There's the golf scramble that Friday. There's the spring game that Saturday at Giza.
Aspect too is, we have the NFL draft combine starting this weekend. Former Coug, Cam Ward, as well as Kyle Williams. And you know what? I apologize. I should have given Kyle the first name drop there. Cam was at Miami this past season. That's my fault, Cougs. So Kyle and Cam, they'll both start their work on Saturday. And, we got a couple clips. The first one is going to be Kyle during his Senior Bowl practice.
And this one doesn't have audio.
Oh, this is actually the Holiday Bowl, the infamous 60-yard.
Sorry.
Oh.
So this is the Senior Bowl.
Look at that release. I mean, that alone, put him on the map in terms of, we'll put up a post that Daniel Jeremiah moving the sticks said about Kyle after this and his performance, at the Senior Bowl. But I mean, Kyle has just kind of slid under the radar, and that big time performance in the Holiday Bowl here that we're showing, obviously breaking Dez Bryant's receiving record that was set in 2008. He was just fantastic to watch. There's a fantastic performance from him and Zebiak House that night. And I want to share an interesting stat on Kyle Williams versus man coverage. I wish you guys could see this video right now too, because it's him absolutely torching Travis Hunter last 2 years ago. All right. So in man coverage, he's got 505 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns, 20 receptions on 33 targets, 0 drops, and he's averaging 25.3 yards per reception. That's big time. This is a guy that has an opportunity to be a second or third day draft pick, anywhere from the 6th or 7th round. And, if he isn't drafted, definitely see him getting signed as an undrafted rookie very shortly after the draft concludes. But, we're all going to be rooting for Kyle to see his name called and to continue this streak of Cougs being drafted.
Yeah, we already heard analysts say that Kyle Williams, since that Senior Bowl week, has gone from being a third rounder at some point to probably a second rounder at some point. So I think it's close to 100% chance that he gets drafted. It's just going to be whether he's day 2 or day 3. Like, it sounds like it's going to be day 2. Also, you did mention Cam Ward. I have to mention him. He could be a potential top 5 pick here. Sorry. Technical difficulties. Here's the Kyle Williams quote before we get to Cam. So do you want to read this?
Yeah, I knew Williams had good speed, but what impressed me in practice was the polish he showed in his release. He created separation throughout the week and caught the ball well. Williams helped himself a lot. NFL analyst Daniel Jeremiah moving the sticks.
And then, as I mentioned, Cam Ward likely going to be a top 5 pick, so he's going to be a guy to watch. If you're watching the draft combine workouts, make sure to check it out this Saturday. You'll see Cam Ward probably throwing, passes to Kyle Williams at some point that day. And then also a couple other football notes. After this live stream, I'm going to hit live on an interview with WCU commit for the 2025 class, cornerback David Kuku. He is the number 7 overall rated prospect out of the state of Washington for the 2025 class. And here's a clip on some of the work that he's put in to get to this point and what it means to him.
I put a lot of time and effort to this, sacrificed a lot, just like a lot of free time, like a lot of chilling, just hanging out with my friends. I mean, but it's really nothing, because I just kind of like paved the way for my future. That's how I really see it. And I hope that's how they see it too. Like, I hope they don't just think like, oh, he's just like knocking us off, like he just doesn't want to hang out with us. Like, no, like he's doing something for himself. Like, he's really setting the path for his future. And I also do it for like the kids that like didn't really have hope here. Like, there's not a lot of like kids around this area with like whatever I have. I feel like I'm just blessed to be in this position. I feel like I just give all glory to God.
And he's a prospect out of, or a recruit out of the Tri-Cities. So. Yeah, big get for the Cougs to keep him in state.
First off, I just also want to thank everybody. We've got 511 people in here right now watching us. This, like, we cannot thank you guys enough. We love doing this. We love spending our free time looking up Coug news, whatever it may be. And we really wanted to get in gear with this show today. We had a little bit of some technical difficulties in terms of putting in live video and clips like we've been putting in throughout the show. So you guys can expect that every Thursday. And you know what? I'm just going to name drop it. We've got a big time guest coming on next week on the live show. Current Los Angeles Ram, former Coug, Brendan Jackson is going to join us next week live. So we're really looking forward to talking to Brendan about his first season with the Rams, how that first year in the NFL went, what it's like playing under Sean McVay, this and that. Also, if you guys have anything you want to ask Brendan Jackson, tune into the live show, drop us a comment, and we'll ask him right then and there.
Another interview that we're going to have going live after next week's live stream, and we'll play some clips throughout, is standout safety that transferred from South Dakota State University over to Washington State. He was an FCS All-American. That is going to be Tucker Large. So that's going to be a great conversation with him, hearing some insight of his playing experience with Jimmy Rogers up to this point, the defense that they're going to be bringing. You know, we're trying to get Caleb Fransel, some other guys on to give some insight onto what to expect from this team. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, best way also to support what Connor and I do, and I'm going to ring this bell right here. Subscribe to CougFan.com. Regardless, if you haven't subscribed before, but if, hey, you guys care about what we're doing on a weekly basis, monthly basis with the Cougs, that is the best way to support us. And shoot them a message. Say, hey, thank you. You know, we're here because the Couch GM and Dylan brought us here. So that's the last plug I've got for the program today.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you to those that commented. Make sure to tune in next Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific time for our next live stream. And we'll see you there. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.